incendiary bombs were thrown. Incendiary, that means to cause fire. Metallum or something was used as chemical in it. And there was no way to put out that fire. And anyone caught with that fire, if you could see that person, and if you could, can be same with this, then you will get some idea of what, say, Patanjali means by fearlessly experience. That means you have been caught by incendiary bomb fire. There is nothing in which you can roll and put out the fire. And your condition then should be the condition now to progress on this path. Get my point? Fiery aspiration. The first thought on getting up in the morning before you touch the ground is my Yoga Sutra. That should be your intense application. Spiritual breathing. Breathing you have done. I don't say no, but that is objective breathing. First comes inspiration, then comes intuition, then comes perception. These are Montessori qualities. Spiritual breathing is primary school quality. Spiritual reading means to read a book, a person, near, distant, unknown, unseen, and to read what that person thinks, wants to do today, tomorrow. That is spiritual reading. And when you read this page, you have been promoted from Montessori to primary. This is what is called spiritual reading. And third is devotion to Ishvara. It is not that you go to the temple, ring the bell, fall on your feet, upon your face. That is not devotion to Ishvara. Devotion can be given only to a living God. Not to a god of stone, brass, gold, no. When that stage is reached, when you can adore the living God within, you will be promoted to high school. So these three virtues are needed: fiery aspiration, spiritual reading, and devotion to Ishvara. And you will go quickly from Montessori to primary to high school. You will reach your 10th standard. Your SSC will be over. Only a little more is left. By this time, the disciple is succeeded in establishing communication to some extent with the psychic body and manas, and together with physical body and the psychic body, the whole complex human structure has begun the early establishment of communication with Chitti. The disciple is now ready to communicate with the spiritual man within, Ishvara, the Gurudeva, divine fragment within. But it is not an easy task. The important functions of niyama we just saw in book 2 now are most needed: fiery aspiration, nothing short of that, spiritual breathing, and now devotion to Ishvara. The very first glimpse of inner spiritual man is enough to create in the disciple devotion. But at this stage it is not possible to call upon the inner spiritual man to take an external shape of Gurudeva and learn at the feet of the celestial master. After your SSC, you will be taught how to call upon your own Gurudeva, your own divine fragment, your own soul, to stand before you, to be your Gurudeva, and then fall at his feet in devotion and learn from your own Gurudeva. No external teacher can take you beyond this point. No external teacher can take you beyond this point. The external teacher will finally teach you how to call upon your own divine fragment to project out as your master and your guide. And then your practices of pratyahara, dhana, dhyana, samadhi will start. If anyone thinks he can do or she can do anything along the path of pratyahara, dhana, dhyana, samadhi, it is all from above. Maybe the person is honest and so is in hallucination. There are times when people say they have had darshan. How will you know that this darshan is hallucination or fact? Most people think that because they are bhaktas of say Sri Rama or Krishna or Shiva, then they get darshan accordingly. Darshan is of the internal spirit, the internal soul, which is the part of God itself. Divine wholeness, divine fragment. There is no difference between divine wholeness and divine fragment. So your divine fragment is as good as Shiva, Krishna, Ram, whatever you might call it. But since you are holding a particular picture in your mind, your own Gurudeva will have that shape. No spirit has any shape, has no shape, has no form, has no color, you see. But because all the time we have a particular shape in mind, the Gurudeva is, he will project, he will have the shape of the deity which we have in mind, whether it is Shiva or Krishna or Ram or whoever. But how to know that it is not hallucination? How to know that because I called upon him and he has come? Remember, those great bhakti yogis or great bhaktas who have had darshan, there must have been bhakti yogis immersed in that bhakti life after life after life. Not in this life alone they have received the darshan. Put them aside. How to call upon our internal divine fragment, our Ishvara, our Gurudeva, and see, and also know that it is not hallucination. If that divine fragment is only light, is there for some time and then disappears, it is hallucination. If that Gurudeva is the projected form of your own divine fragment, then he will come daily at particular time and guide you step by step, day after day after day. Then you will be convinced that it is not only a darshan, my imagination, my hallucination, but that my own Gurudeva is now guiding me. But an external teacher's duty is to take a disciple up to the stage where he or she can call upon and can receive the darshan of the Gurudeva and can get guidance from that day on. You get my point? Then higher steps of pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi begin. Because how can anyone really give you the experience. I can't give you my experience. I can describe my experience, but my description of my experience to you will be only a thought. It will not be your experience. You get that? Only your own master can make you experience step by step, day by day. Then you enter the college. Okay?
When we speak of seeing a thing or having a darsana, I think it is not seeing with the physical eye, but it is the experience which are beyond the five senses.
Very good to say all this. What is the truth? That is what I have to say. What is the truth? We have no proof. Whether my physical eyes are seeing, my inner eyes are seeing, whether it is hallucination or not, there is no positive proof. Only when that image successively comes day after day and takes you time after time and teaches you step by step, then over a period you are convinced that it is not hallucinating. With your physical eyes. You will be able to touch him
and feel
him, hear him. That is where the job of the external physical guru is over. The physical guide cannot go further than that. Because your experience is your experience. My experience is my experience. And it is not transferable. If I write in most beautiful language about Kashmir, you think Kashmir is a nice place, but going into Kashmir in spring is a different thing, isn't it? This is like that.
It is the same thing as coming under the spell of a transcendental master.
So that spell is a very dirty word.
Put it differently. Is that word ever the same as your transcendental master?
You have not said anything yet. Say something. You wanted to say something.
Yeah,
that's what I said. No, you said, if you come under the spell of a...
You put it that again to me in any language. Is it the same thing as being guided by your transcendental master?
Which transcendental master will care for you and me, if not our own transcendental master? Isn't it? So, there is no need in this world to call upon even God. But if God is here inside, if you have made this a very beautiful temple, clean, the living God within has to come out, give us darshan and guide us day to day. Without that, dana, dhyana, samadhi are impossible. Take it from me. Because who will teach you the experience? Who will give you that experience? Which external teacher can give you experience? That external teacher says, do this. No, you are not going to trouble. Do this. No, again do this. What more can the external teacher do? Tell me. He'll say, you must feel like this. And you'll imagine, yes, I feel like. No, that is not your experience. See? Only that transcendental master, your own. And your own, or my own, or her own, or his own, it's same. All the end fragments are same. So there is no need of another transcendental master to take charge of us. When we say, Jesus the Christ, his own transcendental master, as Christ is guiding him, Jesus the man. You get my point? And then Jesus says, I and my Father are one. He has yet not properly registered that the physical body is under, to use your word, spell of the transcendental master. Always the spell is for hypnotic purposes. That is why it's not a good word. Again, Buddha, Gautama, the Buddha. Gautama, the human flesh and blood, and Buddha is the transcendental master guiding Gautama. You get my point? Gautama Buddha is not one God. Jesus Christ is not one. Jesus. The Christ. Gautama, the Buddha. You see, the names of their master, transcendental master. And if they can help their transcendental master, you, I and we are not free. We can also make use of our own transcendental master. And our transcendental master is not inferior to the Christ or the Buddha. Don't forget that. But your strong determination is to come to this point where the master can take over. And that is why, you know the very famous sentence, the master appears when the pupil is ready. And the disciple is ready, the master appears. You know that famous statement? It doesn't come from elsewhere. No physical master can come from elsewhere. Then if you are ready and called upon your internal master, he will be just before you and say, I am waiting for you. You get my point?
But where understanding correctly when I say that when you reach a stage when the master appears and you can touch him, feel him with your physical eyes, he is your own spirit who calls into your master and who guides you. That is, we are creating our own God.
We are not creating. We are not creating. We are creating circumstances when we can contact and be in communication with our own inner divine fragment.
Then he becomes our own master.
Then he becomes our transcendental guide.
Master, no
master, don't take him in the sense of master and servant. He is master in the sense of a transcendental guide.
Is not a person outside your service?
There can be nothing outside of you. Outside of you is the celestial bubble. Outside of you is Maya. Outside of you there is nothing. Everything is within you. There is nothing greater than a transcendental master. So he is God himself. Divine fragment is the same thing as divine wholeness, Atma Paramatma. There is nothing outside of us. Anything that is outside of us has no value. Has no value. Everything that is outside of us is only a means of distracting our mind. You get my point? So, anything valuable from outside we cannot get. Anything that is valuable is within. All the treasure of the world, the universe is within. And a day will come when we can consciously set up community. The day you will set up the communication, he will be there waiting for you. You get that one? On this tree at the back. In case of the man who has achieved yoga, the objective universe has ceased to be. You understand now, my friend? In the case of the man who has achieved yoga, the objective universe has ceased to be. Yet it existed still for those who are yet not free. Just now you asked me, and I have told you, nothing worthwhile exists outside yourself. Therefore, it says, in case of the man who has achieved yoga, the minute you are able, you have arrived and you are able to call upon your divine fragment, the universe has ceased to be. That's no value. What is universe for? What is it for? It's valueless. It's there to distract us. So, it is clearly mentioned, in the case of the man who has achieved yoga, this is called achieving yoga, the objective universe has ceased to be. Ceased to be meaning has no fascination, has no effect on it. Not that it disappears. The objective universe has no effect on it. He doesn't, and it doesn't anymore distract him. But he says, the daughter says, yet it exists still for those who are yet not free, who are not yet alive. For them the distractions are there still. All the value is within. So whatever that is valueless, ceases to be, has no effect, no distraction. 23. The association of the soul with the mind, and thus with that which the mind perceives, produces an understanding of the nature of that which is perceived, and likewise the perceiver. With the communication established, with the inner spiritual man, the objective universe ceases to have any fascination or even effect on the disciples. Others are fascinated and are under the influence of the objective universe. In short, the disciple comes to know and understand that it is a celestial bubble, that he or she is in exile, and it is time to go back to celestial home. And so necessary preparation now begins of conscious death. Preceded by constant effort at conscious sleep. When you come to the conclusion that nothing of value is outside of me, that I am living in a celestial bubble, that in fact I am the outer casing for what I am inside, then why should I continue with my outer casing? And therefore, the great urge comes to be free for all time from this outside external cage. And then, with the help of the divine fragment, the celestial guide, you only take those steps that lead to conscious death. Conscious death does not require another life. Only when we die unconsciously, we are forced to be born again and again. And for that, the earlier steps would be consciousness. All that is taught by the transcendental guide. The false personality I of the physical body brain system dies out completely. The false personality I of the psychic body and manas dies out completely. Individual mind is as pure as chitti itself. And so, perception replaces thinking. Memory takes out, perception replaces thinking. And true perceiving and true perceiver are now known, and all is apparent. Now the disciple realizes that all the time that he saw and thought and did and acted was all false. This is the state when you reach FSC. When ignorance is brought to an end through non-association with the things perceived, this is the great liberation. Then, I do not want to take the word of confidence, because I don't want to break my happiness, today's happiness. Has anybody practiced upgrading exercise 4 and 5?
4 years.
I'm afraid to open my eyes.
Not now.
Upgrading meaning with the prism 1, 2, 3 and without the prism 4 and 5. Forget it. If you have really done 4 and 5, you will get some mild idea. Of what it is to think and yet not use memory. To look and yet not see. Because in the upgrading exercise 5, you see something and you look at something. What you look you can't see and what you see you can see. It's a difficult way to express. But the stage is so difficult to express. I am with you all here. You may be 50, 60, 70 people. And yet I am alone. If I maintain both these stages of being alone and yet being with you, it will give you some idea of what this is now. I can be in Dhamdevi, I can be on another plane altogether also. And when I maintain both the planes, talk to you as Dhamdevi and yet have my lessons on another plane simultaneously. This is what is supposed to be the experience of such a state. So when he says this, when ignorance is brought to an end, the things in the outer ears, I forget to see what they see. To non-association with the things perceived, this is the great liberation. At any time one is free. Though in a normal sense one is with everyone. This is the great liberation. See? The gate is open, the bird can fly. The earlier way of superimposing of brain understanding with a false personality I now is understood as pure ignorance. The earlier association of ignorance being set aside, what is now the result? Great liberation follows from all sorts of ignorance and avidya is firmly replaced by vidya. Awareness has reached a very high state. Whenever ignorance, that is avidya, is replaced by vidya, it is a state or stage of inspiration at the earlier stage, or as the stage says, discrimination. True discrimination can only now begin. It is always free from all errors. So, the state of bondage is overcome to perfectly maintain discrimination. See the words used, perfectly maintain discrimination. That means you are on two levels simultaneously. And you discriminate and leave on two different levels as required. What happens then? The knowledge, that is illumination, achieved is sevenfold and is progressively attained. Spiritual reading results in the contact with the soul. So devotion to Ishvara, the goal of meditation is reached. He means by this the goal of all, satyara, dharana, jnana, samadhi, the four major steps, the goal of achieving these four major steps, will then reach, because you will now be able to contact your divine fragment, you will now be able to call upon your divine fragment and be guided. Wisdom dawns, but slowly. one achieves the rank of a yogi, rishi, mahayogi, maharishi and so forth. When mind control and the controlling factor are equally balanced, then comes the condition of one-pointed man. Once again I am drawing your attention to upgrading exercise number 4 and 5. See, I read for you again. When mind control and the controlling factor are equally balanced, then comes the condition of one-pointedness. You see, the first stage is we indulge in our thinking. The second stage is we try to control our thinking. We don't want to indulge in this or that. And then comes an effortless effort stage when you do not control and you do not indulge at the same time. This is beautifully put here. When mind control and the controlling factor are equally balanced, then comes the condition of one-pointedness. When you call one-pointedness, the very first step of dharana or pratyahara now begins. When there is no effort to control the mind, because there is nothing to control, because effortlessly you are doing the right thing under guidance soon. Now only dharana, dhyana are possible, and even reaching up to samadhi are possible, because these states no external guru can bestow, and at the same time without the guru are unattained. External guru cannot bestow, and without the divine fragment guidance it cannot be attained. Through this process, the aspects of every object are known. The characteristics, that is form, the symbolic nature, the specific use in time conditions, that is the stage of development, are known and realized. Sometime back, many, many years ago, I was talking to some people along this line. So after a little while, one of them started saying, "Now I can read him very well." What I mean to say is, make no attempts to read anybody. Because by attempting to read anybody, you cannot read anybody. You must know the language before you read. Others with glasses also, I can't read if the language I don't know. So spiritual reading requires a particular language. We have to know a particular language. So don't try to read without learning the language. Spiritual reading, many think that now I can immediately see he is like this. Please don't comment on all this. It is not easy to do spiritual reading. Because over a period, we'll slowly learn the language of spiritual reading. Because it's a language by itself, it has codes. Just as we have got alphabet, it has got alphabet. It has got words, it has got meanings, it has got grammar. And unless we go step by step and we read, spiritual reading is not possible. Through this process, the aspects of every object are known, the characteristics, that means the form, the symbolic nature, the specific use in time, condition, stage of development, are known and realized. It is a sort of description of spiritual meaning. If you will not be hurt, any one of you, I will say something, if I have your permission. and none of you will be hurt. By that spiritual reading, I can know who will flower and blossom in this life. And again I lose my vote of confidence there when I see hardly some. Do not be discouraged, do not be hurt. I only told you what you are at this stage. What you will be tomorrow, with your efforts, I will tell you later. But today, I cannot see if you, whom I see today as blossoming into spirituality, into contact with the soul, see? Do not be discouraged, do not feel hurt or sad. Put in your best effort so that very soon I may tell you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like that I will start counting. Put forth your effort. The characteristics of every object are acquired, manifesting or latent. It is a continuation of spiritual reading. The man who can discriminate between soul and spirit achieves supremacy over all conditions and becomes omniscient. How many of you have read Gita? How many of you have read Gita? Why does Lord Krishna use the word spirit and not soul? Why does Lord Krishna not use the word soul and uses the word spirit? The spirit kills not, nor it is killed. Wind rises not, fire burns it not. All the time he is talking about spirit, not soul. As long as you have not come to the stage of calling upon your own divine fragment and your divine fragment becoming your own celestial guide, till then it is a mere spectator, a sakshi, nothing else. It is called only a witness. Till then it is a soul. When you have arrived, you can call upon your divine fragment to be out and be your celestial guide. It has become spirit. You get that? Because you have earned the freedom to take his guidance. Your soul has earned the freedom to be free spirit. Because the ignorance has ceased. It is no more mere witness inside. Now it is free to be out and even guide you. The man who can learn the difference or know the difference, the man who can discriminate between the soul and the spirit, achieves supremacy over all conditions and becomes omniscient. Once the soul becomes the spirit, once the man has arrived and the divine fragment has become the celestial guide, what is hidden from that person? He knows everything. So he becomes omniscient. Till now there was struggle and control of some sort. But henceforward no control is needed. The mind ever remains in a state of a catalyst. And pure perceiving always is possible. And this condition is known as one-pointedness. It is here that the earlier sutra is becoming more apparent when we say the object to be gained, etc. The eye has become 1,000 times more penetrative than the best of X-ray machines. The best of X-ray machine, a scanning machine, can see only the objective thing. The eye now penetrates, and it is here the idea, oh yeah, total yeah. See, when spiritual reading begins, the eye can penetrate anything. So, the idea of the third eye has come out. The idea of the third eye is a fiction. There is no actual third eye as such. But to see without your pair of eyes is a third eye. You get that one? So when spiritual reading is possible with closed eyes, you can see and penetrate. And that is why they call it the eye of Shiva, the third eye. But it is not actually a third eye. It is not that Shiva alone has got that penetrative power to see through. You open your own third eye and you are then able to see through anything. Thus one is now able to penetrate anything, understand any object or a human being. Intuitive knowledge, which is the great deliverer, is omnipresent, omniscient, and includes the past, the present, and the future in the eternal now. It is a description of spiritual reading, the opening of the third eye, and one is able to see whether it is the most distant past, the most distant future. You see, as one, so from this third eye, nothing can be given. When the objective forms and the soul has reached a condition of equal purity, then at one man it is achieved and liberation is reserved. As I just told you, this temple, when it reaches that purity, to be worthy of the living God to be within, and who can breathe freely and live freely because the temple has become absolutely pure and clear. At that time, Dr. says, the purity of the matter and the purity of the inner God are both on a level. And so now there is total freedom, both for the man and for the God inside. Of the inner spiritual man as pure. When all impurities are thrown out of the complex human system, it also attains to an equal state of purity. Because the complex human structure, that is the human body system, has become a pure and fitting temple in which the living God can reside. It is now that the inner spiritual man can be called upon, and he will externalize to become the Gurudeva to the disciple. But how to call upon is yet not learned. We shall know it later.
Then you say, when the objective form and the soul have reached the condition of equal purity, where is the question of soul reaching the state of purity? Isn't it already pure?
The soul is not the state of purity. When the objective form reaches the state of purity,
if the objective form and the soul have reached the
state of purity, that's what I say, that the soul is pure, but the body is not. Now the soul and the body are of equal purity.